It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Every time I read your name, Mfundisi, I get excited because I know it's going to be fire coming through. Pastor Chiwenna, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and how are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. How are you?
I'm quite all right.
Lovely, lovely. Lovely.
Like
I'm excited, Mfundisi. Just thinking about it, I am very much excited. Are you ready for chapter 30, Pastor Chiwenna?
I am quite ready for chapter 13.
Okay. Okay. Right. I'm reading it from the NIV. It's a fairly long chapter, but we'll try and get around to it. It reads, right. Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense wide, and two cubits, it is to be square, a cubit long and a cubit wide, and two cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it, overlay the top and all the sides and the horns with pure gold, and make a gold molding around it. Make two gold rings for the altar below the molding, two on opposite sides to hold the poles used to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the altar in front of the curtain that is before the ark of the testimony, before the atonement cover that is over the testimony where I will meet with you. Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamps. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight, so that incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. Do not offer on this altar any other incense or any burnt offering or grain offering, and do not pour a drink offering on it. Once a year, Aaron shall make atonement on its horns. This annual atonement must be made with the blood of the atoning sin offering for the generations to come. It is most holy to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, when you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time of his counted. At the time he is counted, then no plague will come on them when you number them. Each one who crosses over to those already counted is to give a half shekel, according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. This half shekel is an offering to the Lord. All who cross over, those 20 years old and more, are to give an offering to the Lord. The rich are not to give more than a half shekel, and the poor are not to give less when you make the offering to the Lord to atone for your lives. Receive the atonement money from the Israelites and use it for the service of the tent of meeting. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement for your lives. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire, they shall wash their hands and feet so that they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices: 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil. a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. I think I've lost my altar. You shall consecrate them so they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Do not pour it on men's bodies, and do not make any oil with the same formula. It is sacred, and you are to consider it sacred. Whoever makes perfume like it, and whoever puts it on anyone other than a priest, must be cut off from his people. Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum resin, onycha, and galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal measures, and make a fragrant blend of incense. The work of a perfumer, it is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it to powder and place it in front of the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula. For yourselves, consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from his people. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen. Briefly, your comments, Mfundisi.
Amen. My comments are that we are seeing here holy furniture, holy utensils, and also we are looking at holy anointment oil. Very important items which are representing the nearness of the Lord to his people and the approachability of God, that he can be approached under such holy circumstances. It's actually the altar of incense. Incense itself is very, very expensive. Very, very expensive. And also the placement of it, it's very close to the Ark of the Testimony, just next to the curtain that hides that testimony. So it means that God is saying, I want, when I am being approached, I want to be in a holy place, in a pure place, and I want to be able to exude my own glory while I also receive the worship of my people as they come to me. And so there is this kind of relationship that God wants to build between himself and the people through the priest, the high priest that is going to be functioning, Aaron in this case, in that place next to God. And so we see here that also males that are of aged 20 and above, when they are being counted, I don't know whether it was for military purposes, but when they are being counted, they were supposed to make a payment that was equal for every male. Whether they were rich or poor, the payment was supposed to be the same. It was not to be a variegated, depending on the economic status. No. Each one had to give the same amount. So there is that commonality of redemption by blood, by the blood of Christ, that is. So they must also pay this life price, they must pay it in equal amount. And so we also see the lever that is bronze, which is also being constructed there, but its main use is for hand washing and feet washing. And this must be done by every priest that approaches the altar of burning incense. Before they begin their work, the priests were to wash their hands and wash their feet and come clean before the presence of God, ceremonially clean, that was. And so this also, the oil that we see there with a special formula, the oil of a special formula and essence of special formula from aromatic spices, liquid myrrh, and the other spice mixture. Some are talking about resin droplets, molasses scents, and it had to be a special formula that would not be generalized, a formula that was just for God and for Him only. If anyone tried to emulate the same formula to create another, or just to make a copy of it, that one was supposed to die. So, making mistakes over these instructions meant death.
Okay.
So
let's get into it then, Mfundisi, because I'm curious to understand a few things here. As society, particularly Christianity, we tend not to find it okay when people burn things impepho. And here we see God instructing the burning of impepho by the priest. Okay. Why is it that we are against a practice that was instructed by God? Why do we say it's witchcraft? Why do we say it's satanic and yet it was originated by God here?
The burning of incense at the time was necessary because this was Old Testament economy. The Old Testament economy, as you might remember, was pointing to Jesus Christ.
Right.
The whole of it was pointing to Jesus Christ.
Right.
The high priest himself pointed to Jesus Christ. The ordinary priests, they pointed to Jesus Christ. The altar of incense was pointing to Jesus Christ. Everything in the sanctuary pointed to Jesus Christ. So it was necessary that these things, especially the burning of the incense, should be done because it had a representation which we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 7 to 9, there to 8, 9. It talks about burning incense in the form of, it says that the incense is like the prayers of the saints. So it was God to smell that incense. It was not human beings to smell that incense. It was not for other spirits to smell that incense. It was God himself to smell the incense.
I understand. My question is, why do we say it is satanic and it's witchcraft and it's not supposed to be done, and yet it was originated? The idea of burning incense is something that is good in the sight of God. It was to be done in the holy place. Why are we saying, as people of faith, this thing is satanic, this thing is for demons, this thing is witchcraft? Why? And yet it comes from God.
I think that our associating essence with the demons and witchcraft is unnecessary.
Mm.
It is not necessary for us to do that. But maybe people do so because of what they see in society. Because maybe people are using essence for other functions, for evil. We don't know, because I haven't experienced that myself. I don't know much of who, I don't know many people. I don't know people who are using that. But I know that in certain churches, they'll be burning incense there. Mm. There'll be some odors and perfumes there from the altars with the some smoking of smelling smoke and so on. That is their religion, how they look at it, how they want to do it. But the truth is that what the Bible mentions is the incense that was holy to Jehovah.
Mm.
And it was specified.
Indeed.
It was specified. It was not even to be replicated or duplicated, whatever. It was not supposed to be copied. It was something unique.
Yeah.
It was sort of heavenly.
Right.
It was sort of heavenly because it was from the mouth of God And he specified what he specified the ingredients, he specified them. Mix this, mix that, and even the quantities. And so he said, what I have mixed here, my ingredients,
right.
my recipe is heavenly.
Right.
It's not a recipe for, it's not an ordinary recipe. So if people are doing such kind of things, burning incense, they are not duplicating God's thing. If they are, then it's useless because this thing ended at the cross with Christ.
So it is not satanic. It is not evil. It's godly.
I wouldn't want to label things demonic or satanic when in actual fact, I don't have the evidence of that labeling being true.
Right, right. And then verse 11 talks about the census. Then the Lord said to Moses, when you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. So you said something here, Fundis, where you said it was men, and yet here it doesn't say it was only men. It was Israelites, plural. Are you suggesting that at the time they were only counting men, they were not counting women?
In actual fact, you will find that the Bible inclines itself towards men.
Yes.
You know the reason why?
Why?
It is not to suggest patriarchy. That maybe the Bible is patriarchal. It's mainly for males. No. It is also not suggesting to demean the females. Not at all. It simply means that the males represented Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is male.
Okay.
The sonship of Jesus to the Father was supposed to be understood from whatever worship was being done at that point in time. So that sonship of God, of Jesus, is an everlasting sonship. And it was supposed to be understood from the male children of the family. So that's why there is that emphasis on the counting of males. The females could be counted, but look, for the purpose of this sanctuary worship, it was supposed to be males because Jesus is male, Son of God. Is not the daughter of God. Jesus is not the daughter of God.
Yeah.
He is the Son of God.
Now,
he is the Son of God.
I hear you, Mfundis. Now, there are churches that make people pay an amount of money, and they quote this verse where it says people must pay an amount of money, a particular sum. Why do we castigate those churches when they do that?
You see, as I say, the whole thing about the sanctuary, including the representatives, the males and so on, pointed to this Son of God. So the payment is called life price.
Mm.
Life price can also be translated as ransom price or ransom money. And ransom means redemption, being redeemed from some kind of captivity or being redeemed from some kind of a situation that is not good. So this was representing ransom from sin or being saved from sin, being redeemed from sin. You remember we talk about Jesus paid the price, the blood that he paid. So all payments related to the sanctuary were to facilitate the worship of God in the sanctuary, but also it was to do with pointing forward to the blood that would be paid for sinners. That's why the payment is single. It has to be the same payment, so that when Jesus died on the cross, he would be paying the same payment for everyone. But now here it's the males that are being counted, and as they are being counted, each one of them must pay that life amount, that life money, life price, that ransom price, that redemption price.
All right. And then the basin for washing. I found it rather interesting that there is a lot of washing of hands by only the priests, not the ordinary people. And yet we insist that people must wash their hands. Where do we get this from? God only wants the priests and the high priest to do the washing of hands. Why are we insisting on these things that are not meant for the ordinary people? Washing of hands is for priests and high priests, isn't it?
Washing of hands for people in general is important hygienically for health reasons.
Not biblically.
But this was washing related to the ministry in the sanctuary.
Right.
So the ministry in the sanctuary required washing, ceremonial washing, required washing of feet, required washing of hands for the priest. And you can see that what is being washed are the hands, and what is being washed are the feet, not the whole body there. Not the whole body there. And you can see that the hands and feet have to do with the things that are done and the places that are gone to.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
Yes. So the priest had the capacity to sin in what he was doing before he came to the sanctuary. He could be doing things that were not right in the sight of God. He could have gone to places that were not correct in the sight of God. So he needed to come and demonstrate a washing before God. Because this washing, while it is physical, but it had a spiritual meaning, that he had to wash from his own sins, the priest's own sins. Because he needed to represent Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is sinless. So when he comes before he comes into the sanctuary, he is coming representing Jesus, and Jesus is sinless. But this high priest or this ordinary priest is sinful, and so he must demonstrate that he needs washing. He needs washing of hands. He needs washing of feet. He needs to be clean as he goes before God. So the emphasis there was cleanliness or holiness before God, which is a spiritual state that this minister was to attain before he comes.
I understand that much, Pastor.
Yes.
What I'm trying to establish is, how do we take something that was meant for priests and we say it's good for everyone hygienically?
You should remember that what this washing represented is what I have said. But you should also remember that in our situation, we don't always talk about washing hands and feet at all services in the church. It's just only during the Lord's Supper that I see us washing feet. Is that right?
Yes.
During Lord's Supper, we wash feet, and even the ladies wash feet, because you know that the church now has put together everyone under the Son of God. So we cannot say women don't wash. It's only males who are going to wash their feet. We can't do that. In terms of washing hands, it's just hygienic.
Okay. I don't want to belabor the point. I would have loved to insist on that answer there, Mfundi. So the last point now is the issue of the anointing oil.
Yes.
I have seen a lot of people arguing at various sessions about the ordination. And when I ask, okay, but there is no ordination in the Bible, they then refer to the laying on of hands. And I ask, which one? Which laying on of hands? Because the laying on of hands in the New Testament did not have the oil that is instructed here in Exodus chapter 30. And that one was not an anointing of or laying on of hands of priests. It was laying on of heads of elders and deacons, not pastors, not prophets, not those people were not ordained. Pastors were not ordained in the New Testament. Why do we insist on having a debate about ordination of pastors? And yet we don't have ordination of pastors. And some people argue that, well, priests were ordained, and yet priests were not ordained in the way that we're talking about. Here is the ordination of priests, which has to do with a specific ointment, a specific oil with specific ingredients, and that is not laying on our hands. It is pouring and covering and anointing that person with that specific ingredients of oil, which is something totally different to ordination. So I'm asking Mfundis, this debate about the ordination, why do we quote it in the Bible? Because there's no ordination of pastors in the Bible. And we cannot include this verse as suggesting that pastors are priests. Priests are not pastors and pastors are not priests. Do they do different jobs, isn't it?
You are more educated than I.
Okay. So that's my question, Mfundis.
You are more educated than I, because you know what? You are saying it very well, that the word ordination itself is not seen anywhere in the Bible,
right?
Except in the King James Version. And it could be in Mark or Matthew, but it's just in King James Version only.
Right.
No other place will you see the word ordination. So all debates concerning ordination are useless and probably unchristian.
I like that.
All debates about ordination are quite useless,
yes,
and probably and a Christian.
Oh, because yeah, fine, clever, Mfundisi. So here, this ointment now, this oil, this anointing oil for priests and high priest, this is not ordination, is it?
No, it's not ordination. It's anointing.
Right.
It's anointing, and this anointing cannot be equated to anything that is done in any church on the globe in our time.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
There's nothing you can equate with that.
Yeah.
Okay. This was appointing. It was God's way of endorsing that minister, that priest.
Right.
To say, he was anointing that priest, and I want to believe that the oil itself, since it was a special formula in the heavenly, as we have said, it must have been representing the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Because this minister, this particular priest, was to stand in place of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah. If they were doing it on a daily basis in the holy place, they were representing Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
If they went into the most holy, the high priest went into the most holy annually, he was also representing Jesus Christ. So his ointment with a special formula, a formula that has a recipe from God himself, from the throne of God. It means that this particular minister was being connected with God, with
indeed,
heaven,
indeed.
So that for the sake of the people.
Oh,
Got
it. Pastor Chiwanda, as always, it's always fiery and formidable engaging with you. I always enjoy talking to you. Thank you very much, Mfundis. I really appreciate your time.
God bless you, sir.
Because Mfundis.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.